Well, about 2 weeks ago, I preached a message simply titled, I've Got News. Well, today, our title is More News. And I thought earlier Larry might get off into part of my message there, but he didn't. But you know what? We've got a lot of things going on in the world today. What comes up this next week? How many know what comes up? No, not this. That's not next week. It's the week after. I'm talking about the week. It's actually, I guess, this week, since Sunday's the first day of the week. It actually comes up this week.
Tuesday. The solstice. Oh, the end of the world's going to end.
Huh? The end of the world, according to some folks. The Mayan calendar, which has been so proclaimed that it prophesied the end of the world. All it really did was say, okay, that's the end of this cycle. We start over again. But some people are panicking out about it. And in some places in the world, there is that panic of, well, the world's going to come to an end. I saw somebody the other day posted a message. Well, if you believe the world's going to come to an end, why don't you just leave all your valuables with me the day before? And I'll take care of them. So... I started to tell somebody that I was going to stop and do my Christmas shopping on the 22nd because if the world came to an end, I wouldn't have to worry about it. But I thought that was being a little harsh with them. So, but Isaiah, how many remember there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 22, verse 5, he said, "For it is a day of panic, trampling, and confusion from Adonai Elohim to Zvat in the valley of vision. With walls crashing down, they cry for help to the mountains." A day of panic. And that's how some people feel about, you know, and some of them, even on the night of the 20th, are going to get really anxious, you know. Is this the last day? And, you know, there are people that have prophesied the quote-unquote end of the world before. It was just a little over a year ago that Harold Camping said that that Jesus was going to come back and the end of the world and so on. And there were people sold their businesses and they went and did this, that, and the other because they thought, sure, that was going to happen then. And, of course, plenty before him have said the same thing. And there have been those who heard prophecies from somebody that was a self-anointed prophet in a lot of cases that said the world was going to end on a specific day. Well, Jesus told us in the scripture that he didn't even know the day. And besides, he never says the world is going to come to an end anyway. He just says he's going to come back. Things are going to go on. There's going to be changes made, but things are going to go on. But the end of the world. Well, let's just take a look at that here. Actually, people believe that it's an impending apocalypse. And I believe last year there was a movie came out called 2012 or something like that. I'm sorry, it was in 2009 that it came out. And in China, the doomsday seeds were planted when the 3D version of the 2009 Hollywood disaster film 2012 hit the theaters last month, according to the Asian Times. And of course, all around the world, people have cited that the world is going to come to an end. A carpenter in China supposedly spent his earnings whining and dining, even though his wife had just given birth. And in another Chinese city, a man allegedly spent his family's savings to build an ark in hopes of survival. Well, I got news. The Bible tells us that that's only going to happen one time, and that already happened.
Amen.
So building an ark, your hope of survival, now that's a waste of your time. And if it's going to end the way that some people prophesied it was going to end, it's not going to help you anyway, no matter what you do. Well, some have been devout and followed these doomsday messages and so on and have done some crazy things. I understand that a lot of people are getting calls, especially from some younger folks, concerned about the end of the world taking place December 21st, 2012. Well, that's why I'm announcing that we'll have service next Sunday on December 23rd. We'll still be here most likely because I really don't believe Jesus is coming back on December 21st at this point. because too many people are expecting something to happen that day. But you know what the Bible told us, and we've talked about this time and time again? He says he's coming like a thief in the night. We're not going to be expecting him to come. So anyway, that's one of the things that's going on in the world today. And then, of course, we have the event that took place on Friday. There were numerous events that have taken place this week, but the most horrific one was the school shooting in Connecticut. And as I saw some of this on the news and began to watch the news about it, I recall thinking to myself, I have only felt this way emotionally two times before in my life. And one was when JFK was killed and we found out that he'd been assassinated. And then the other time was when 9/11 happened. It's just a feeling that you get. You know, you're just kind of numb. And I felt kind of that way as I was listening, but I thought all of these innocent children that didn't stand a chance as they have been slain there. A particular person, and I can't find his name here right at the moment, but he said, evil visited this community today. That was Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy. Evil visited this community today. And a lot of folks out there, of course, writing up petitions to ban guns and to do this and to do that. I've got news. If you take the guns away, somebody will use something else. Because you see, on Friday, there was also an event that wasn't too well reported in this country. But a man in China took a knife and slashed, I forgot how many, I believe it was 12, though, children at a school in China that same day. Just would have been earlier prior to this, but that happened that same day. So he used a knife, so somebody else would use something else. And besides, it is not the gun or the knife or any of these other things that kill the people. It is the person that's holding it. It is the evil that is behind it. And this Connecticut governor made a very true statement when he said, evil visited our community today. And evil is visiting a lot of communities today. And as we've read the paper and maintained with the news, since these events occurred on Friday, other events have happened where evil visited a community. Maybe not to the same extent, but it still happened. Evil visits a lot of communities today. It visits a lot of homes today because evil is present in this world. Evil knows that its days are numbered. Evil knows that soon Yeshua is coming back and he's going to set up his kingdom and his time is limited. But evil is doing what is that evil can do best at the moment. So evil has visited our communities. Now this one, this didn't happen in the U.S. But you see, it's not just the U.S. that some of these crazy things are happening in. Teacher asks 13-year-old students to write suicide notes. And this happened in France. The teacher gave the following assignment to a class of 13-year-olds. You've just turned 18 and have decided to end your life. Your decision appears irrevocable. As a final effort, you decide to explain the reasons for your act. In setting out your self-portrait, you describe all the disgust you feel for yourself. Your text must bring up certain events in your life at the root of this feeling. France. Write a suicide note. Learn how to do this. Become proficient at it. All you need to do is give teenagers sometimes a little bit of encouragement to do something, and it will set the plan in motion. The teacher has been denounced by local, regional, and national education officials. Now, I said that happened in France 10 years ago. A university here in America, a professor had his students not just write a suicide note, but to write out how they were going to carry out their own suicide. After two of the students took the assignment too seriously and actually did commit suicide, then and only did the university take action and dismiss the professor. It's not just something recent. Evil has been around for a long time. 2 weeks ago in the message we mentioned comedian, and I've got to put that word in brackets because I don't think he's very funny. Jamie Foxx, who had stood up and told people to give thanks to our Lord and Savior Barack Obama, as he received tremendous applause, made a statement on the Saturday Night Live show just this past week, and he said, talking about his new movie, Django Unchained, he gets to kill all the white people. How great is that? The live audience erupted in cheers and laughter. That's some of the sickness that's going around in the world today. Oh, it's comedy. Comedians say these things. I've got news. If one of us made a statement like this, they'd be hauling us away for questioning. But because he's, quote unquote, a celebrity, he can get away with it. And this country has come to the point that we have let these people who are supposedly celebrities try to run our lives and try to run our government. How many remember the Banana Boat song? Some of you here are probably too young to remember. Oh, Sharon remembers it. Daylight come and I want to go home. Ah, yes, Harry Belafonte. How many have heard of Harry Belafonte? Ah, yeah, more hands have gone up now. Well, this past week, Harry Belafonte recommended that Obama imprison conservatives. In an interview with Al Sharpton, he recommended imprisoning those who disagree with the Obama agenda. Belafonte told Sharpton that he thinks Barack Obama ought to do this. And this is his statement. We quote, "The only thing left for Barack Obama to do is to work like a third world dictator and put all these guys in jail." By the way, Mr. Belafonte is dear friends with third world dictators such as Hugo Chavez. So it's not surprising that he would say something like that. Imprison anybody that disagrees. We've heard that before, not in this country, but in other countries. And we saw what has happened to some of those countries as those things were carried out. The great state of Texas. I know some of you here aren't really all that fond of Texas. By the way, Texas has got a move to secede from the Union. It's kind of jokingly, some people want it to happen, some people don't. Personally, don't think it will happen. But here's something going on in Texas, and I'd heard a little bit about this and wasn't really sure where it was at. There's a private curriculum in Texas called C-Scope. It operates under the umbrella of the Texas Education Service Center Curriculum Collaborative, whose incorporation documents state its independence from the State Board of Education and of the Texas Education Agency. And by the way, teachers who use this curriculum have to sign a gag order that they will not discuss this curriculum outside the school. That gives you more reason to suspect it anyway, doesn't it? Well, here's what part it is. In the 70% of Texas public schools where a private curriculum has been installed, students are learning the fact that Allah is the Almighty God. Charge critics of a new online curriculum that already is facing condemnation for its secrecy and restrictions on oversight. Others have reported part of the curriculum, and you may have heard this on the news not too long ago, that their depiction of the Boston Tea Party, how many remember reading about and studying about the Boston Tea Party? I know none of us are old enough to have been at that one, okay? But the Boston Tea Party was a terrorist act on par with 9/11. That's what part of the curriculum teaches. They also go on to believe that the Second Amendment does not apply to individuals, but of the right of a state to arm its militia And going along with that, another person who's well known on television stated that it only applied to muskets. And somebody challenged him and said that it applied in some other way. And he asked them, where do you read that? And they said, the same place that you read muskets, because it's not there. You know what? We've got people going around trying to tell us. And I'll tell you what irritates me as an American and as a Christian is people from outside this country trying to tell us how to run this country, when their own governments are a bigger mess than ours are. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28. In other words, since they have not considered God worth knowing, God has given them up to a worthless ways of thinking, so that they do improper things. The Greek word here, and in fact, let me back up here and make this statement. In the King James Version, it says, given them up to a reprobate mind. And the word, the Greek word, adokimos, I believe I pronounced that close to correct anyway, is translated six times as reprobate, one time as cast away, one time as rejected in the Strong's Greek and Hebrew dictionary. But a worthless way of thinking. My wife and I have discussed this numerous times lately. As you see such crazy things going on and some of the evil that is taking place in the world today and some of the just plain idiocy that's going on. And we've discussed the fact, and my wife has said numerous times, I think God has just started giving some of these people up to a reprobate mind. And reading it as the translation, worthless, they have a worthless mind. People out there who are supposed to be educated, knowledgeable people are doing such stupid, worthless things. You can find somebody with no education at all that thinks clearer than some of those folks do. A worthless mind, a worthless way of thinking. They do improper things. Events to come. American weapons aimed at Israel. Whoa, we thought we'd never heard that one, huh? American weapons aimed at Israel? Israel's supposed to be our friend. Why would we aim weapons at Israel? You know what? We don't have to directly do it for it to happen. All we've got to do is sell the weapons to the wrong person. And that's exactly what is being done. As F-16, I believe it is, fighter jets, one of America's most lethal weapons, are being sold to Egypt. Egypt's president has declared that Egyptian Christians must convert, pay tribute, or leave. And in every country that Islam has conquered, that's what it's come to. You either convert, you can pay tribute, or you can leave. And if you stay, you'll die. Simple as that. And we read in some sources, we don't get a lot of it in the mainstream media, but a lot of places in the world today, such as Pakistan, for one, where Christians face on a daily basis being charged with blasphemy for something they didn't even say, because all someone's got to do is come up and say, he blasphemed, and they haul him off. No questions asked. Could that happen in America? It's possible. It's possible. I hope not. Things have been discussed regarding the second coming of Yeshua. And we're not going to get into pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib in this. I do know one thing. He is coming. Amen. So I'm going to go with a thing, be ready. But the Bible tells us that there is a tribulation period that it spells out, and it spells out some of the events that will take place. And America has been, according to most scholars, conspicuously absent from those events. People have discussed recently why, if Israel is our friend, why are we absent from there? And it came down, and some came to the conclusion that it's one of a couple of things. One, we're in such terrible shape ourselves, we can't help. We're getting that way. Number two, we've got a president that won't help. And I'm not sure we haven't got that. And then there was one other that I can't remember, but it's something very similar to that. Scenarios that played out. And we can see as we look around any one of those three scenarios taking place. The potential of it. What did God say about Israel? In one place he tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. If you want to be blessed, you pray for the people of Jerusalem. You support Israel. Does Israel ever make mistakes? You bet they do. And they've made some mistakes. And there's been some things that they've done that I'm sure we wouldn't agree with. And that God probably wouldn't agree with. Because they make mistakes, but they are still God's people. And God has said that he will bless Israel, and those who bless Israel, he will prosper. You want to be blessed, you better bless Israel. If you come against Israel, I got news for you, disaster is coming. Zechariah, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. And a lot of these prophecies that were written in the Old Testament, we're watching them, the fulfillment of some of them beginning to happen today. Some have happened already, but some are still yet to happen. Zechariah 14, 1 through 4 says, "Look, a day is coming for Adonai when your plunder, Jerusalem, will be divided right here within you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem for war. The city will be taken, the houses will be rifled. The women will be raped and half the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then Adonai will go out and fight against those nations, fighting as on a day of battle. And on that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies to the east of Jerusalem, and on the Mount of Olives will be split in half from east to west to make a huge valley. Half of the mountain will move toward the north and half of it toward the south." There have been times in the past that Jerusalem has been conquered. But the event that Zechariah is talking about here is yet to come. But I've got news. I tell you, I love that statement anymore. I've got news because there's a lot of news out there. The day is coming that these events are going to take place. And it's not too far off. Zephaniah goes on to give an invitation. He says in Zephaniah 1:7, "Keep silent before Adonai Elohim, for the day of Adonai is near. Adonai has prepared a sacrifice. He has set apart those he invited." It says what? He prepared a sacrifice. Who was that sacrifice? Yeshua, Jesus. He sent him to be born of woman, to grow up, to preach, to die on a cross, that his blood would be shed for the salvation of mankind. He, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect lamb, prepared the sacrifice, and he's invited those who would come. The invitation's been issued. The invitation was issued 2,000 years ago, give or take a couple of years. You know, we can quibble about dates too sometimes. But that calendar's been messed with so much, I don't think anybody's really sure of what date is, you know. But he's issued the invitation. Are you invited? Well, preparations are being made. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 through 28 goes on to say, "For he did not enter heaven to offer himself over and over again like the Kohen HaGadol, who enters the holiest place year after year with blood that is not his own. Now, he's talking here about the high priest who went into the Holy of Holies to offer that sacrifice once a year using the blood of animals. Jesus didn't go back to heaven to have to be sacrificed over and over and over again. But his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary was for once and once for all time. It says, for then he would have to had to suffer death many times from the founding of the universe on. But as it is, he has appeared once at the end of the ages in order to do away with sin through the sacrifice of himself. Just as human beings have to die once, but after this comes judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to deliver those who are eagerly awaiting him. He's prepared the sacrifice. He's issued the invitation. Now, a lot of times we get an invitation to go to a party. How you get there? You got to get in your car and drive. If you lived a few hundred years ago, you had to get in your horse and buggy and go that way. But by whatever means, you had to get there. Most of the time when you get an invitation to go to a party, they don't send transportation. Be nice, but they don't. But you know what? He's issued the invitation. He's prepared. And he's coming for us. Amen. We don't have to get there on our own. He is coming for us. Because we couldn't get there on our own. He's made the way. He's provided the way. Are you eagerly waiting? Some folks are. I can't wait till Jesus comes. And I know as human beings, it's times we stop and we plan ahead. Some of you, especially you younger folks here that are just starting out life together or just graduating from college or whatever, you make plans for what you want to do. And some of you are looking forward to your future, and some of you are maybe even thinking 20 or more years down the road as to what you might be doing. And there's nothing wrong with planning ahead. In fact, sometimes we get into trouble because we don't plan ahead. But we also need to be eagerly awaiting for Jesus to come at any moment. Someone once said, you live like he's coming today, but you plan like he's not coming for another 1,000 years. Maybe they said 100 years. I don't know. I forgot. Doesn't matter there. But he's coming. We know that. And we also know if we study the Word that the Word shows us that time has grown shorter and shorter. I've heard this preached all my life. Some of the rest of you have heard it preached all your life, that Jesus was coming again. And I remember my uncle, who was my great uncle, who was a preacher. And I remember him and my dad back in the 50s, they'd get together and they'd have this discussion. And they were talking, well, Jesus is coming at any moment now because Israel is a nation again. They were expecting him to come then. And I'm expecting him to come now. I do know one thing. He is coming. He keeps his word. And when the time is right, that day that God the Father says, it's time, and that trumpet is sounded, oh, I tell you, then the clouds are going to split open and Jesus is going to come again. And those who are ready are going to meet him in the air. Those who are in the grave, or however, that have died. Let's put it that way. Those who have died. The Bible tells us those who have died that were believers, that they're going to be resurrected, that they're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and they're going to meet him in the air. And those who are still alive and remain here that are believers are going to be right behind them. And it's going to happen so fast, nobody else is going to have a second chance. And some folks, well, yeah, well, I'll go for that second chance. I'll take my chances there. I got news. The odds are against you. If you want to gamble with that one, you're playing the long odds, because it most likely isn't going to happen. Will folks get saved during the tribulation period? Yes. Bible gives us indication of that. But it isn't going to be easy. And besides, if you can't live for Jesus now, how do you expect to live for him then when your life depends upon it? Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the gate. If someone enters through me, he will be safe and will go in and out and find pasture. I'm the gate. I am the legal way in. You know, sometimes when we have prayer over a building and we anoint it, especially if there's been activity around that's demonic presence or something like that, one of the things you do when you anoint that building is you anoint the legal entryways. It's why we go and we anoint the doors, because that's the legal entryway. There are legal entryways, and the only legal entryway to heaven, I don't care what anybody tells you, but God's word says there's only one legal entryway, and that's that gate, that door called Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He goes on to tell us in another place in Scripture, John 14, 6, where he says, Yeshua said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. He is the only way. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's time. It's time to ask him to come into your heart. It's time to go through that gate and say, Jesus, I'm opening up my heart's door. I'm standing here. I'm inviting you to come into my life. Take control of my life. And Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash them away with the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, once and for all for my sin. And Father, help me to live for you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.